I'm really enjoying exploring like hacks, AI tools, workflows and systems that we can follow as creators to just like get videos out quicker and get way more videos out with our time and just scale our content creation. So I'm just going to keep doubling down in that area. And that sale completely came from him finding me on YouTube and finding my content, clicking on the link in one of my YouTube videos, jumping on a call with me, and it was like one of the most easiest sales I've ever made in my life because he already kind of knew me and what I was about from having consumed my content. And it was just like a real nice defining moment of like, okay, like this the YouTube channel has grown and it's now also having this positive benefit on my entrepreneurial aspirations. Decided to explore entrepreneurship as like this new era of my life of being an independent person that could look after myself and was disillusioned with a 9 to 5.
Today, I'm talking with Greg Priest on the Poly and Content Creator Spotlight. I am Dustin Miller, Poly Innovator. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here, Dustin.
It's one of those things where this show just kind of keeps changing and keeps evolving with every guest. And so the intro is always kind of throwing me off a little bit there. But thank you for coming. The way I like to break the ice is to have you share something about yourself that no one may not know about you.
Oh, God, that's an interesting question. No one who follows me online probably knows this. Friends from before I came onto YouTube, before I started building a business in this space, know this, but I was a super avid skateboarder growing up, and I still love skateboarding now, even though I don't get much chance to hit the skateboard. But whenever I do, I jump on a skateboard when I can and just relive those glory days of my youth. I love it.
Do you still use that as a method of transportation too, or?
I don't know. I live in a different city to what I grew up in, and this city that I'm in now is just not. It doesn't go well with skateboards. There's not much, just the way it's built up. So unfortunately, I don't get to skate as much as I used to here.
No, that's an interesting background too, because I wouldn't have guessed you were a skater beforehand.
Yeah, I'm a secret skater. No one, I flew under the radar.
Very smooth. And that's why I like that question too, just kind of getting a little meta here since Content Creator Show. It's like that question, whenever I ask it, I don't send it ahead of time, so it kind of is a little bit of a curveball, but it makes every other question afterwards a lot easier, if that makes sense.
Cool. Okay, it's all smooth sailing from here then, is it?
Yeah.
Great.
I see you representing today, so I appreciate that.
Sure, I had to
That's how
represent.
we
We're
met.
both brand ambassadors for Opus Clip, so I had to kind of give some tribute on
Yeah.
this chat.
So, what got you started as a content creator?
Ooh, good question. I started content creation formally. Like I started my YouTube channel 7 years ago, and it was really accountability. I think were two things: creative outlet and accountability that made me start. I had just quit my 9 to 5, age 27. I've been working for like 7 years out of uni, 6 years, unhappy the whole time, hopping from one job to the next. I decided to quit my job, jump on a plane and go backpacking around Canada and just figure my life out. And literally the second day I la like the day after I landed in Canada, I took my camera down to the harbor in Vancouver and filmed my first video. And I saw the channel as a method of accountability, like me announcing to the world that I'm going to enter this new chapter of my life and figure this new part of my life out. I figured if I put it on video, then I was way more likely to do it if the whole world could see me and hold me accountable to it. And I mean, I'd always been into photography and doing like cool video effects in the past. And this the channel just grew from there, just kept updating my audience and growing and evolving the channel from those early stages.
I love that start. It sounds actually like a very beautiful start to it. And I was actually scrolling through your channel to try to find your earliest video, and you have a ton of content. I think more than I ex even expected too. And I guess 7 years will do that, but how often did you end up posting, and did you continue doing a lot of those more naturalistic scenes?
Yeah, I think I actually have like 400 unlisted videos like that I've taken off my channel.
Oh,
And
wow.
I think I've made about 900 to 1,000 videos in total. Did you ask me about frequency? Did you? How regular I was making videos?
Yeah, that too. I was curious considering the fact you had a lot of the you were talking about the nature of videos, but you also have a lot of your automation and tool videos now, and dropshipping a while back. So I was just curious how often you ended up posting too, considering how many you've put out in just 6 years, 7 years.
Yeah. So when I started, I set myself the goal of making one video a week. I knew I wanted to start a YouTube channel, and I said to myself, if I can't find the time to at least do one video a week, then I shouldn't commit myself to doing this, because I obviously don't have the dedication or commitment to doing it. So the early days, it was one a week. And since then, that frequency has gone up and down in all shapes and sizes. At one point, I was making a video a day. I think I even got up to 9 a week at one point. I've gone down to 1 every 3 weeks at one point. So it's kind of been all over the place. And it's funny, it's kind of come full circle now. 7 years later, I'm back at aiming for one video a week.
Mm-hmm. Frequency is always a really interesting topic, especially when you talk to like Roberto Blake, for example. He talks about the idea of doing 100 reps, like just do 100 videos, and you can get the, it doesn't matter if they're really good or not. You can try to make them good, but about just getting the skills. There's so many things that you learn just by making it, as you know, obviously, but for like, sure. Just even right now, I'm looking at the camera. That's a skill that I really didn't master until like my 8th or 12th video. And even then, not master, but get good at it. After 1,000, there's so much more.
100%. Well, I always tell people, you wouldn't sit down at a piano and expect to play Beethoven on your first sitting, would you? Like everything, every skill takes reps and takes practice. And that's exactly the same with YouTube and with video creation.
There's also the idea too, of like how much content you want to get out based on, first off, your metrics, but on top of that too, like let's say you have a plan that you want to launch a course. And so there's at least 12 videos you want to get out leading up to that course. Well, that's a campaign, if you will, that you're trying to work towards. But then you also might have your regular content that you're making as well that may not be completely aligned with that campaign, something different. And so that's two different videos you're making in that week, but that kind of increases your workload quite a bit too. And there's just different changes like that you can't account for always.
Yeah. And just bringing this up makes me think about like burnout, work-life balance. Like I think every creator goes through that stage where they associate more with better, like more content with more better results. And I've definitely experimented with it. I told you I've made 9 videos a week at one point. One a week is good for me. And I think we all find our like natural frequency that we're individually comfortable with.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Greg. And it's one of those things where like Kyrgyzcat, a very famous animation channel where it's kind of educational, they often made just one video a month. And that was a frequency they were able to do sustainably without burning out, because it just took so much effort to make those videos. And so that really depends on the creator themselves. Some people really like doing videos so they can make them very quickly. Maybe they're doing live streams and turning that into VODs and cutting it up, something like that. So they can make 4 videos a week from one live stream, I guess you could say. But that's still kind of only doing it once, just kind of chopping it up differently. But you're making from the ground up one or however many videos.
For sure. Yeah. Everyone has to find their own rhythm. And I'm trying to build a business outside of my YouTube channel too. So even one a week is tough for me, but I'm managing it because I have all of these like hacks and shortcuts and stuff from 7 years of making videos. But yeah, we all need to find our own frequency for sure.
Well, and you've made a lot of content on merch and dropshipping earlier on as well. How did you get into that topic?
So very early on when I started my channel and, you know, I'd left my job and I was this nomad, I decided to explore entrepreneurship as like this new era of my life of being an independent person that could look after myself and was disillusioned with a 9-to-5. And it was around the time when like e-commerce and a version of e-commerce called dropshipping was very popular. Like these videos were all over YouTube. So I fell into that hype, hook, line, and sinker, you know, like it's like the beginner's like journey into entrepreneurship, like what's popular on YouTube at the time, try that. And for me, it was dropshipping. On reflection, I think 99% of people that tried dropshipping failed. I was one of them, but I was very fortunate because at the same time as trying dropshipping out, I was making videos about dropshipping, which led to my channel becoming monetized and earning ad revenue. And also I was making commissions from the software that I was recommending in my dropshipping videos. So I actually see my time dropshipping as a win, as a success, because I was a creator at the same time doing it. But if I was just trying that, it would have been an L, the same as most other people.
I really like that, especially since you see it as a success. One thing I talk about with my main content I do is this idea of phases. So each phase is kind of like a sub niche, if you will, or a focus that you're doing in your life, whether it's through your content or professional life too, like your career could be one of your phases. And how you balance your life is kind of really into those phases as well. So you had your dropshipping phase, you had your naturalistic phase, and now this more content automation, content creation phase. And while you could maybe do them side by side, you're focusing on one right now, but having that visualization kind of thing is what I'm trying to say is really helpful.
The visualization of what content you're covering at one, any time?
And that phase could last a year, it could last a decade. It really doesn't matter how long it lasts. It matters how long you think it needs to last. Mm. And so with my channel being very multidisciplinary, I have multiple phases going on at once, but that's what I do. For a lot of people, it's just one, maybe two things going on. Like, sure, you building a business is your other phase and your channel is the other phase, the first phase. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And our interests change over time, don't they? So I think if we force ourselves to stick to something that we were maybe interested in 3 years ago, but we're not anymore, we're not going to be very happy with our day to day, are we? Yeah. So yeah, I think it's happy to always be aware. It's important to always be aware of what makes you happy and what you're interested in, and kind of trying to focus on those things.
Definitely agree. And you definitely have focused greatly into the video aspect, but out of the three pillars, the video, audio, and written, have you thought about making other types of content as well?
Yeah. In the 7 years I've been doing this, I probably could say I've tried them all. I'm very light touch with audio. I'm not really as much as just ripping the audio track from a video I made and you know, releasing an audio version of it. But I've tried written as well. But the same way I said, you know, about everything is every skill is something you need to get good at, and sitting at the piano expecting to write Beethoven at day one, metaphor. I've accepted I'm just not a great writer. I'm much better on video. So, and I can sit down and try to write something, and because it just doesn't come naturally to me, I'd probably be able to make a video in the same amount of time that I could write about that topic as well. So I may as well play to my strengths and do the video. So I definitely focus mainly on video for sure.
So I like asking that. I did change the question a little bit because I usually ask what's your favorite to make, but it's pretty clear that you like video. But I was curious because there's always different ways, like you said, chopping out the audio and making that into a podcast. You can always chop out the transcript for the video and turn it into a blog post. Or even use AI to just retransform it into a certain style too, or something like that.
100%. And that's something I focus on getting better at myself. And it's part of the service I provide my clients, is how to use AI to repurpose your content and be everywhere. Mainly with video, but you know, written is also included in that. They want to explore that route. I'm trying to get better and learning the ropes of like how to take my videos and convert them into blogs fully automated, rather than me having to sit down and do it myself. Because if I do it, it's just like trying to get blood from a stone. It's going to take so long to do it manually.
Speaking of tools too, like, not to talk too much about Opus, but I'm curious your experience as a user of Opus with all your solo videos that you've done. A lot of the videos I put into it were, you know, interviews like this. I had a decent amount of solo videos that I put in there, and I got a handful of clips in each one of those because they were kind of short. I'm curious to see what your experience was when you chop up your solo.
So 99% of the videos I've put into Opus are my discussions, my podcast interviews. So same as you. I have taken a few of my standard videos and put them in there. Early days, it wasn't so great because a lot of the content I do is tutorial, like how-to content. So there's a lot of screen sharing, me referring to what's on my screen in the original video. But since Opus, and you probably know what I'm going to say here, since they released the screen sharing feature where you can take an original video with your talking head floating over a screen share, and Opus converts that into a vertical video automatically, since they added that feature, it's been great. It means that whenever I make a YouTube full-length video, and I usually do it targeting like a search term, like a phrase, I can also get a short from that long form video and then also target that search term with the short as well as the long form video. So hitting it at both sides there.
And so how often do you particularly want to post when it comes to short form? And do you cross post it to other platforms as well?
Yeah. Short form for me is an afterthought, to be honest with you. The reason being is I've transitioned from seeing YouTube as like a passion project hobby to more of a business, and like YouTube is the kind of the marketing arm for my business. It helps me build my personal brand and attract my target customers. So I won't get into the tiny details of it, the minutiae of it, but long form videos are better if you're coming at YouTube as a business, as an entrepreneur. So long form videos are what I put most of my time towards creating. But because of Opus, it means that I can also just quickly generate some short form videos from my long form videos too. So yeah, it's definitely just an afterthought. I don't really have a hard and fast rule on like how many I'm getting out a week or any of that stuff, or even how high quality they need to be, because long form is where I'm putting all my time and attention to. But I'll just rip them automatically from Opus, put them on YouTube, and also put them onto Instagram Reels and TikTok too, alongside that.
That's why I asked, because I figured your main focus is on the long form stuff, but I figured even like not even talking about it, but just kind of just repurposing it into that vertical, it wouldn't be too difficult for the most part. I'm just curious too. You definitely said something that made me interested, the idea of quality, because people get really obsessed with the quality of short form content and not enough, I feel like, with quantity. Because if it's easier to make them, if you're already making a great long form video and transforming that, the quality should transition through that.
Yeah,
Usually.
I think it depends on the original long form video you make. Like a chat like this, it's really easy to find sort of self-contained moments, like clips where there's a kind of like a beginning, middle, and end to the point, and it's really valuable. If, on the other hand, I'm making like a 10-minute tutorial video where you need to follow every step in that 10 minutes to get the end result, it can't really be clipped into a 60-second clip. Or if it is, it's going to be out of context and not
One
really be
step out of it.
useful, yeah, to someone watching it. So it depends on the original video. But sure, you know, if you have the original video that works for chopping up, definitely chop it up automatically for Opus and get as many out as you can.
I just keep thinking about the tutorial style that you're talking about there, and like how if I have a problem and there's a certain part of that tutorial that'll help me, and the clip highlights that one part. When I search for that term, that clip's gonna come up and it's gonna be saving me time. I wouldn't have to watch the whole video to find my solution, if you will.
Yeah, imagine if the original video is a more general, like how to tutorial how to use this software, like generally, you're going to be covering a lot of micro tasks in that larger video, which for sure, chop that up into clips, and it's a lot more for the format works a lot more for chopping up into clips. If you're doing like an 8-minute video, but it's just on one goal, one outcome, and you need to watch the whole 8 minutes to reach that one outcome, then yeah, it's not going to work so well, is it?
That's a very great point. And actually, just something that randomly came to mind is that TikTok's pushing that long form again. Do you think you're gonna repost your stuff to TikTok if you like reformat or something like that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. What's the length on TikTok now?
So I know for a fact at least 10 minutes, but I'm pretty sure they're trying to
Okay.
upload it to 30 at some point here soon.
So I definitely need, that's a missed opportunity on my part, because I still have in my head 60 seconds of short form content. So there probably is like a lot of my recent library that are like 5, 10 minutes long that I could just use Opus to convert to
Like a
a
3-minute
vertical
clip.
video. Well, even like a 10-minute vertical video and put it onto
True.
TikTok, the whole thing, you know. So yeah, I should start exploring that
Yeah,
more.
that's why I thought I'd bring it up, because I'm trying to help you out a little bit.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Obviously we use Opus, but what kind of tools do you use for recreation or repurposing?
Cool, great question. So everything starts with ideation for me. What am I actually going to make a video on? Rather than just shooting from the hip and coming and making any videos that I, yeah, just spray and pray that one of them catches. I like to do a bit of market research now and like make videos with make an informed decision on the videos I'm going to make. So I'll do a little bit of search research, SEO research, a little bit of trending video research as well, just to see kind of what is hot at the moment and what people are responding to, what they want to watch. So tools like TubeBuddy and vidIQ are great for like trend research, SEO research within YouTube. There's another tool that's recently come out that not as many people know about, but this is probably the one I think is most valuable and I like the most. It's called One of Ten. really good website. A bit more expensive, I think it's like $50 a month, but that's so good at finding like trending videos that are working like right now. So yeah, I do research on my idea. I then write everything myself manually and come up with the titles manually and thumbnails manually. I think that's kind of a skill that you can't really automate or have some software to do. It's just something I've developed over 7 years. So that comes manually, although I know some people use ChatGPT to help them script and come up with titles. And then when we get to the editing, I am using, after I've done my recording, I'm putting that original recording into some software called Gling. You heard of Gling?
We've talked about it before, but yeah, you can
Yeah.
explain it for the audience's sake too.
Yeah, so say I've like taken an hour just to record my tutorial. You know, that's going to be edited down to like a 5, 10, 15 minute video. So there's obviously a lot of mistakes in that original recording, pauses, repetition. I put it into Gling and Gling just automatically picks up everything that needs to be taken out in that first pass. Any sentences that I've repeated, any filler words, any pauses, it just selects them and automatically removes it. And when I found Gling, like it was mind blowing. It saved me like 2 hours every time I edited just from doing this first pass for me. So yeah, really great software for post-production for stage one. And then I just do the edit in Adobe Premiere, put it the long form video up, and then as we mentioned, to get short form videos from that long form, I'm using an AI called Opus Clip, and there obviously are other products out there too that do the same thing.
I love the way, like everything that you just said, like the way you explained the tools and the way that you're sharing your thoughts on them. It is interesting, some of the things you kind of alluded to when it came to your strategy, for example. Like you don't like how like the AI could write the scripts. Personally, I'm a little bit 50-50 on it. I want to do it myself usually, but I often write a blog post and make a video out of that. I do like the writing first myself. But also too, you do like a 1 hour take with however many mistakes you make in there and you edit it down. Whereas I might actually like redo the take if I make a mistake and that kind of do multiple parts. So it's interesting how the different strategies go.
Yeah, that's too stop start for me.
Yeah.
Stopping the recording, starting it, doing it again. Like if I just fumble my sentences or missay something in a sentence, I'll just re-say the whole sentence again, but in this in the same recording.
I did that with these interviews. Like, if we're talking right now, and I did it at the very beginning. You probably won't see it in the final cut, but I messed up the introduction there because I started at the
Got my
halfway
name wrong,
point.
Dustin.
Got your name wrong. I'm sorry, Greg Priest. So it's one of those things where it's like that initial nerve to getting over it and that kind of thing. But point is, I'll just redo it and then cut out that beginning part. But that's usually a bit easier because it's at the start. When it's in the middle, from my experience, it's always kind of harder to cut that out in a way unless I'm doing these longer form interviews, and my motivation is that like you look as great as possible. So I'm like, I'll do that extra work. But I feel like what you're saying is it's not that much work, especially now with Gling.
Yeah, it's like I said, it saved me at least 2 hours every edit that I do. It's so good, and it's only getting better as well.
And I'm curious too down the line what Opus might do when it comes to long form as well. But so another question here, kind of pivoting a bit. Can you share your favorite story that's happened to you as a creator?
Sure, yeah. So, as well as being a YouTuber, in the origins of my YouTube journey was that I wanted to become more independent. Another version of looking at someone who's independent is entrepreneurial, and I wanted to be able to kind of create my own success. So I've got a keen interest in business. After I started the channel, I returned to uni and did a master's, a postgrad in entrepreneurship. So I see my channel and growing a business as two very linked things and two things I'm very passionate about, and I want to kind of intertwine them as much as I can.
Right.
So I think my favorite story to date is when I landed a new client for my business, a very high-paying client, I'll add. We were on a 3-month commitment. I sold him a 3-month long product. And that sale completely came from him finding me on YouTube and finding my content, clicking on the link in one of my YouTube videos, jumping on a call with me. And it was like one of the most easiest sales I've ever made in my life because he already kind of knew me and what I was about from having consumed my content. And it was just like a real nice defining moment of like, okay, like this, the YouTube channel has grown and it's now also having this positive benefit on my entrepreneurial aspirations. And yeah, it was just like a nice moment of achievement and like reflection of all the work I put in before that.
Kind of like feeling like it's one of the first feelings of I made it kind of thing.
Kind of, yeah. Like I'm from like, I don't know if you say working class in America, but from like a lower income family and like, you know, like I think when you're brought up in that environment, you kind of view the world around certain numbers and certain income levels and you know, certain numbers are what is normal to you. So to be at a point where like I'm now thinking at like higher numbers and I'm making deals and stuff at higher numbers than what I was the environment I was raised in, it's like, oh wow, like this is a big lifestyle change, you know, and it's very largely down to being a creator. It was a nice moment.
It's definitely a change in your mental scape too, because you have to start thinking differently when it comes to money. And a lot of times when I came from a not as great background as well, I feel like. And it's one of those things where when you start to do better in life, when you start to do these kind of things, you almost have a different mindset of like, maybe I don't deserve it, or maybe I'm not working hard enough, when you do deserve it. You did the work. You're getting these changes now because you put in the effort to get towards that. But it's hard for our brains to accept that. And I think that's a value
for sure. 100%. Yeah. Like, so what I've learned along the way is so much of it is mindset. And like you said, yeah, we tell ourselves that we're not worthy of certain things and certain things aren't for us. So when we can break through those kind of mental limitations, it's a really powerful moment for anyone to do.
Yeah. Well, you definitely have a lot going forward. And one thing I'm curious about is, do you have any plans for like future phases of content? Kind of going back to that idea earlier. Right now you're doing a lot of content around tools. You're doing a lot of stuff for your business. What's next when it comes to content for you?
Yeah. Well, I've been thinking about this for the first couple of weeks of 2024, and I'm really sort of just doubling down on time saving, like AI tools and time saving processes for video makers. I work with, and I want to continue working with entrepreneurs and, you know, individuals that see YouTube as beneficial to their business. And they're really time sensitive. They have very limited time in their days. And also I think everyone kind of is also, it wants to like do things faster and protect their time. So I'm really enjoying exploring like hacks, AI tools, workflows and systems that we can follow as creators to just like get videos out quicker and get way more videos out with our time and to scale our content creation. So I'm just going to keep doubling down in that area.
I love that. There's actually two things I want to share with you. I think you've used both of my tools when it comes to scheduling, but my most recent one, I'm still figuring out some of the kinks with it, but Rise Calendar, the calendar app that is a lot more efficient than some of the more generic ones. And it has a basically Calendly built in where you can do meetings. And I thought that's what you use in order to make this meeting today, for example. Mm. And I thought that's actually really helpful. It saves me time from having to use separate tools. I might actually leave Pinsight now because of that.
Nice. That's cool. I have to check it out. Sorry, one second. I currently use Calendly for people booking my time, and that's a great app. But yeah, I'll have to check that tool out too. But more specifically, what I'm focusing on is video creation tools, not just general time saving tools, but tools that are going to help you make videos quicker and scale how many videos you can make. That's what I'm really interested in.
And the next thing I was going to share with you is this idea of using knowledge management tools. So it's not necessarily exactly what you're saying, but it definitely helps you make more content faster. I spent half a decade in Notion, for example, and I've used a variety of different tools. Capacities is what I'm looking at right now. And I organize my content in this ecosystem that I built in these tools. And it allows me to plan out all the content I'm going to make ahead of time, as well as keep a good trajectory and production, if you will.
That's great. Like, it's so useful to have some system around like your content calendar, your strategy, your ideas process. Yeah, really useful.
Well, I think a lot of creators, that's why I brought it up, because you're talking about time management and trying to use it as efficiently as possible. I think a lot of creators, they get stuck using like Google Sheets, which is really inefficient. Even Airtable wasn't really that great when it came to this. When I moved to Notion, I was able to make a specific system. I had issues where I had so much content that it actually got too slow in Notion, ironically. So I moved to a different tool. But being able to see the calendar view, for example, allow me to move. Like, let's say today I'm really struggling to get my video out. I can just drag it to the next day on the Notion calendar and allow me to have that freedom of control. But then I could also produce more content. Like, I went 10x, I think, once I started having that system.
Yeah, 100%. They're really cool. Really, sounds really great. And little hacks like that I love. Like, some of the tools I've been looking at recently, is one of them is like a voice cloning platform where you can actually upload a 2-minute sample of your voice and it clones your voice. You know, we were talking about when we record videos and we maybe make mistakes when we're talking sometimes, like when you made a mistake with my name at the start. what you could do is, you know, now that you've, once you have a fully digital clone of your voice, rather than having to fix the edit in post and maybe do a manual voiceover saying my name correctly, you can just type in my name using this digital voice clone and export an audio file of my name in your voice and put it into this edit. And that's going to save you so much time. Like, say you recorded like a, and you've got like a 10-minute documentary, but you haven't got the time to add like your voiceover for the whole documentary. You can just have like ChatGPT generate the voiceover script, feed that script into the voice clone software, and just generate that voiceover in your voice and apply it to the documentary. So just tools like that, I find so interesting and so cool what's coming down the line.
I'm completely mad at myself. I didn't make a question about all these. We're probably going to go into that just a little bit before we wrap up, because I know you and I get really into the weeds when it comes to a lot of those overdubbing tools. I know that the script was the first one to really kind of come out with it, with their overdub, but it was more like if you make a single mistake, like the name and just like a couple words, they could fix. Now it might be a little bit more expanded, but now there's all these other tools, like you're saying, that can do it. Just because even voice cloning, like 11 Labs is one of the more popular ones, as you know, but a lot of the tools, they often ask for hours of input in order to clone your voice. So I'm really curious about the experience you might've had when it comes to some of these tools only taking maybe like 10 minutes, 2 minutes of your voice. How well it does.
Yeah. The most recent and memorable one that I used was 11 Labs, like you mentioned. And I'm pretty sure that was 2, maybe 3 minutes of footage to do my voice. Crazy.
And then on top of that too, this idea of maybe making like an automated series using like Synesthesia or InVideo, using the overdub, like you're saying, with your own voice, and then creating content just using your own voice like that. It's completely automated.
Yeah. There's a YouTuber recently, I think his name's like Quebelpop or something. And he made a full virtual like AI clone of himself, like scanned his image into it. And this clone made him look like it made output a video that looked like him on camera moving in video form and talking. But it was completely generated in AI. And I've been messing around with these platforms myself, like AI avatar generators, they're called. And it's like, yeah, like say you're a business client and you need to like make a ton of videos to go on your website, or just some like commentary videos on some things that have happened in your industry recently, but you don't, you know, you're a busy CEO, you don't have time to sit down and shoot all the videos yourself. The fact that you can like generate an AI double of yourself in video form talking about these topics means you could be making so many videos where previously you didn't have the time to make those videos. I think it's amazing. And it can be in your voice because you've got the voice cloning software too.
There's also just, I think a lot of people, you're one of the people who is, but there's a lot of people who look at these tools and they think of it as kind of like a replacement of their main content. But there's a lot of pathways that you can go with this. For example, we were talking about e-commerce earlier. Let's say you need to make a whole bunch of videos for your products, for example, and you could make it quickly doing that. That's a use case that most people probably wouldn't think of. On my website, I have over 550 blog posts, and pretty much all of them you can listen to using Beyond Words. Beyond Words is one of the tools that came out for basically text-to-speech. They're one of the earliest ones. They were SpeechKit back in the day. And they sort of have cloning, but not as much as like 11 Labs. But it's kind of interesting where like all my blog posts now, I could turn into a podcast if I will.
Yeah.
And if I could get that to get my voice later on, clone my own voice, then I could make a podcast out of my blog post without me actually having to do it.
That's incredible, isn't it? When you think of the possibilities there. Yeah.
And do you have
for
any
people
ideas?
Like me who suck at writing, I could use AI to turn my video into a script, into a blog. And then I could use AI to take that blog and turn it into like a podcast episode using my clone voice and just be hitting all three of those sides of the triangle from making a video originally.
That's a really good point. And we could go on a whole tangent about that. But I wanted to also mention too, I've been using AI a tiny bit with some of my gaming posts, for example, because I want to write a really good post, but I couldn't, for some reason, think of the flow of what the post I wanted. I couldn't think of an outline, which is what I'm normally pretty good at. And so I've been using AI to just come up with the headers for me, and then I write out the post myself. So technically, yes, I'm using AI, but it's more along those lines, it's to help me, not to replace me.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So you're finding it useful. Yeah. Great.
In that regard. So what do you have coming down the line that you're looking forward to?
Yes. So really just doubling down on the content that's been showing some success at the end of 2023, doubling down on that in 2024. So new AI tools that are going to help creators save time. And then we mentioned off camera before we started this podcast, the business that I have alongside my channel, just really growing that to like the next level in 2024. I'm just taking on some high earning clients who need help with their video content creation, that want to find out efficiencies and ways to save time in their video production and get way more videos out on a weekly basis using AI and using other tips, really just becoming more of an expert in that area, the tools that can help people do that, and also building up like systems and support systems to help people do that on a one-to-one basis.
You're definitely a YouTube expert. I can definitely attest to that. I've seen your channel. I've talked to you before this call. And it's just one of those things where I love being able to talk to somebody who knows what they're doing and being able to kind of just pique your brain, if you will.
Oh, cheers, man. That's nice to hear. Thanks for that.
And if you wanted to, do you have any more to share on your business if you want as well? Like a good moment to do so.
I think that's it really. Like if anyone's watching and they're interested in ideas and tricks and tips to put out video content quicker across all platforms in all different formats, short form, long form, head over to my channel. That's where I'm going to be putting videos on that specific topic over the next 12 months. So yeah.
Book a strategy call too.
that's the ask that I put in the video when you're watching the video on YouTube. But for now, just check out my channel.
Yes. Well, I got links in you for the description. Besides your YouTube, anywhere else you want people to go to and check you out?
If people are on LinkedIn, they can find me on LinkedIn. Dustin, if you want to put the link in the description to this, that'd be great. I can't read the URL out now. I can't remember. You can.
I already got it there. It's perfect.
Sweet, dude. Thank you.
Well, this is Dustin Pollinovator and Greg Priest on the Pollin Content Creator Spotlight. Thank you for being here.
See ya.
It's good.